Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Victory Monday in KC. A couple of these in a row. Pretty nice. Feels pretty good in Kansas City. The Chiefs just dismantled the Las Vegas Raiders in epic fashion yesterday. We're going to get into some of the historical trends associated with that win against Vegas throughout the show today. It truly was a complete ass whooping. It's always good when it happens against the Raiders too. That's the best. We were talking on Friday how, yes, the rivalry may not be what it once was. And a lot of that is because the Chiefs, of course, are competing for Super Bowls. The Raiders are not relevant, but it's still good. You see the silver and black run out on that field, and you're like, oh yeah, I hate these guys. I forgot how much I hate them.
And again, swear, not coached, because neither of my kids are like really, really into football or whatever. They don't sit down and watch it with me yet or anything like that. But last night I was helping my daughter with something, and she said, did the Chiefs win? I said, yes, they did. And I explained that they beat them. She said, They're my favorite team. And I was like, okay, great. And then I said, who's your second favorite team? And she, of all things, said the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh.
And I'll have to explain this.
Okay.
It is because they are the first alphabetically. It has nothing to do with anything
all
else
right.
for her.
All right.
Other than if you saw them in a list by city, they're first, and she likes that. And then I said, who's your least favorite team? And she said, the Raiders.
Good. See?
And
good.
Zero coaching. It was just natural
Kansas City instinct, Gold. Also, you know
she
what?
She just knew to hate them.
You know what? Arizona? Harmless. She can like the Arizona Cardinals. Harmless.
What's the harm in liking them?
Harmless.
Rooting for the plucky underdog.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's no harm. There's
no
harm
there.
They're on
the NFC side.
It's just important that she already knows we don't like the Raiders in this town, all right? And it was awesome. It really was. You guys can interact with us if you're at the game yesterday. That was at halftime, essentially, the game was over in the third quarter. Plenty of people were leaving. The wave was starting in the third quarter as well.
The wave in a football game.
Yeah, yeah, that's how bad it got. That's how bad it got at Arrowhead yesterday in favor of the Chiefs. But you guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up at noon, you guys know how it works now. On a Monday, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid, right here on 96.5 The Fan. So we'll hear from Andy. I don't know if we'll get really any injury updates, but that is probably, if there was anything concerning at all in an otherwise perfect day.
Maybe no more Norman Lott one, but normally he says the guys are just
getting be the ugly knee injury for Norman Lott. You know, how serious is the back thing for Trey? It sounds like they're just being very precautionary, but we'll hear from Andy a little bit later on. But that was one of the most complete, if not the most complete win of the Mahomes era. It wasn't the most tough opponent, wasn't the biggest win. Nobody's saying that.
You're not supposed to beat any team in the NFL that badly.
I don't care how bad the Raiders are. You shut out somebody in the NFL and not just shut them out in an ugly like 10-0 game or something where your offense stinks. Shut them out where it's 31-0 and you completely backed off the throttle by the time it was midway through the third quarter or late third quarter where you were giving up points and putting on 52-yard field goals basically because you didn't want to embarrass Pete Carroll. I'm convinced that's basically what it was. They just don't want to embarrass and run up the score. That was one of the most impressive incomplete games in the Mahomes era. I mean, there's so many different historical trends. My favorite one, though, probably is the Chiefs allowing three first downs. Three. Chris Jones joked in postgame, Cody, that he's like, yeah, he was smiling. He only played like 22 plays in the entire game. Basically, got a half a day off.
You know who played more snaps? This is a great stat from our Chiefs pre- and postgame host. Alex, do you know who played more snaps than Chris Jones on Sunday? Bob Tonyan got more game action. Now, look, most of those were kneel downs or runs with Breshard Smith. Late in the game, when that thing was settled and over and done, Robert Tonyan played more snaps than Chris Jones in that game. It was a dismantling of a team. I haven't seen the Chiefs, and this might be, and I understand the Colts beat them 40-9 or the other stuff. Like, it's not like other teams won't have a wider win margin. 31 won't be the biggest win margin of the season. I would defy you to find a game when we are all done with 18 full weeks of regular season football gold. I dare you to find a game that was more lopsided than that one. That was a beatdown. The 30 first downs to three first downs, 400 yards to 100. Geno Smith finished the day with 67 tidy passing yards. 66 were after the catch, which means they just got tackled the second after they completed any pass of any quantity. Nothing from Genty, and I understand they were hurt. No Jacoby Meyer, no Brock Bowers, but they've been hurt in other games. They've competed in half of their football games. This was a dismantling. This, honestly, it was one of the very few times where you're like, oh, this is embarrassing. Kenny Pickett and Gardner Minshew got in before halfway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was truly one of those rare games that you felt games where you feel like you were dominant before, but this is one of those you just don't see very often. It's the first regular season shutout in the Andy Reid era. They, of course, shut out the Texans in that road playoff game back in 2015. I think it was Niall Davis returning the opening kickoff, and they set the tone there. But this was a divisional opponent. I don't care how bad the Raiders are. A divisional opponent.
Which they needed a divisional win. Those are important. Conference win, those are important.
No doubt. And you give up 96 yards. 96 yards, the fourth fewest in franchise history. The fewest since you gave up 93 to the same Raiders team back in 1997. So it wasn't just your normal beatdown. It was historical. It was so enjoyable, I think, and for everybody to have the rare noon kick and then just a stress-free Sunday. And, you know, people were obviously having a great time back in the parking lot early. I saw a lot of people went back to the parking lot and said, oh, we're just hanging out in the parking
lot. Put some red zone on, yeah, and have a couple of drinks. Look, a lot of this goes to the idea that, and like, I think we both softened our final score predictions knowing that, like, this is not how the NFL works, Gold. We're like, tell me somewhere on paper. We did a topic on Friday. Show me somewhere on paper in which it makes sense. The Raiders are going to compete in this football game. We came up with, I guess Max Crosby could be good. End of list. That was it. And so when you start looking at that, it was like, I expected them to kick their ass. I kind of think it should be a blowout, but it's hard to predict those in the NFL because things go differently a lot of times. I could give you 1,000 stats that point out the ass kicking. I think it was Josh Dubow over at AP. He'd point out the Chiefs had 100 yards on offense on the first drive of their game because they had a penalty. So they had to go 100 yards. The Raiders had 95 in the game. So the Chiefs on the very first drive on offense scored enough points and had more yards than the Raiders. If they had just never touched the ball again, and they just erased the time off the clock in which they possessed it, but scored no more points, they still would have won the game. It's insane. It's nice, though, to say, this is a team whose ass you should kick. They are not good. You are significantly better than them, and you're playing a lot better than them. And then go out them and beat them, not just in a blowout way, but an embarrassment way. Like, you took it to
them. There were a lot of moments that were, I'm sure, just demoralizing for the Raiders. The one play that stood out the most to me. So, I don't know if you... It ended up out of a many, many, many great plays for the Chiefs. But Xavier Worthy, there was one where Jamal Adams for the Raiders had the play sniffed out. I think it was like an end around maybe to Xavier Worthy. And this is in the second half. And you're like, oh, wow, Jamal Adams, he's right there. Like, he played it well. They had him. But it didn't matter. Xavier Worthy's too damn fast and just outran him. And then Jamal Adams just laid flat on the ground. He's like, what the hell am I supposed to do here? That was one of many demoralizing plays. And this was, by the way, Trent McDuffie in the locker room yesterday talking about. He kind of agreed about the complete performance.
I think so. I mean, I've never been a part of a game where, man, we even had a shutout. So I know I'm going to enjoy this one, definitely. And shoot, hopefully we can stack a few more of these up.
He was asked, is this the most complete performance he's been a part of?
And, how could it not be?
That was kind of the theme, as you can imagine, in the locker room for many guys that spoke. We'll hear from Travis Kelce, who spoke in the locker room, which you guys know nowadays that's kind of a rarity. So you definitely want to hear what Travis Kelce had to say about Patrick Mahomes. We'll get to that in the offense as a whole. But that is, as much as we'll discuss the offense, the defense, I don't care if it's Geno Smith. I don't care if Brock Bowers didn't play. The defense doing that in back-to-back weeks. Remember, they held the number one offense a week ago to 17 points in Jared Goff and the Lions, who were fully healthy on offense. And then they just did this to Geno Smith. And it wasn't like it was just, oh, Geno Smith is throwing three interceptions. No, Geno Smith.
They only sacked him once.
Yeah, only one sack. And Geno Smith did not have turnovers. He led the league in interceptions. This was just a flat out, no.
You're not getting 10 yards.
Second, third down, you are not getting an inch.
They finished the game with, because of the sack, 70 total passing yards. That includes Kenny Pickett's 8. So 70 total passing yards, 25 total rushing yards, Gold. Do you hear that? Like, what? I mean, teams get that in a quarter. Like, what are we doing? Like, the number of players who, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, the Chiefs had, I don't know, 7 or 8 players who had at least 25 receiving yards, and the Vegas Raiders had one singular, just Trey Tucker and his 5, you know, sick catches for 33 yards. It was just the fact, and we know this because Andy doesn't run up the score. He doesn't like to put backups in too early. Gardner Minshew got in the game before the third quarter was over. And then Andy did what I think is a more embarrassing way to handle it, which is like what I like for the couple of teams I was good on that were good as a kid, or teams that were good against our teams as a kid. Rather than let Gardner Minshew get loose and get a little work in, he made that man just hand the ball off 47 consecutive times. He didn't even let him pretend to open it up. He didn't even let the man throw. He just said he did not throw a single pass. Gardner Minshew played an entire quarter of football in which they just said, hand the ball off. Let's get to the end of the game. Yep. We've embarrassed them enough.
Yep. And they would rather get a turnover on downs on fourth down than kick a chip shot field goal. They'd rather punt than kick a 54-yard field goal with Harrison Butker late. Now, I think that was also just to get a clean game out of Harrison, which was nice to see. It's the first time all year where there's nothing negative there. Thank goodness. Hopefully that gets him confident moving forward in a big game coming up on Monday night against the Commanders. But yeah, that was just a demoralizing defeat if you're the Raiders, and I loved every second of it yesterday. Let's talk about this offense, though. Rice, Worthy, Brown. It took until the second quarter for all three of them to be on the field at the same time. We were wondering how long they would take, and I still think they were intentionally holding a few things back for what their further plans are for all three on the field at the same time. But what do you guys expect for this offense moving forward? I mean, 5 drives for Mahomes, all 5 result in scores, 4 for touchdowns. 3 of their drives were not just short field set up by the defense. No. 16 plays for 94 yards. 17 plays for 84 yards. 9 plays for 92 yards.
Some of them were long.
With ease, they had a lot of 3rd and 2s, 3rd and 3s, but with ease, they were able to convert, and they spread the ball around. You were going through Geno's numbers. I mean, Patrick Mahomes threw the ball to, 9 different receivers, or had 9 different completions, I should say, in the game. That was at one point 3 more completions than Geno Smith had in the entire game.
Yeah, he had one point completed a pass to more receivers than, as you pointed out, Geno had completions. Look, I feel very good. Every once in a while, a lot of times on these shows we're wrong. Before the game, when we were talking with Briscoe, I had said, I think before Rashee Rice even steps on a football field, I think this is the best offense in football. I feel only more emboldened by that stance now. The, you know, like, and look, it's easy to sit and print up t-shirts that say everybody got to eat and make it your rallying cry. You still have to actually execute that plan. I'd say they did a pretty good job there. The yardage totals were 54, 42, 42, 39, 35, 35, 28. Does that sound like every... And for the guy, Hollywood Brown, who only had 14 yards, he also had a touchdown. So he got in the end zone. The guy out of the entire group with the least amount of receiving yardage ended up in the end zone. So, like, he got his, too. There was only one target monster. It was Rashee Rice. He managed to do that in very few routes run, which we can talk about when we get to Rice individually. Their offense... I don't see, like, honestly, I don't see how they don't end up as the number one offense in NFL by the time the season is done as far as personal perception. I understand they're behind the eight ball in the points per game category in the sense that maybe over the course of the season, they won't be the number one points per game offense when it's all said and done. But I think we'll all universally agree that they are the number one offense in the NFL. They are up to already the seventh best offense in the NFL. And that's only by taking a
you score 30 and 31 in back-to-back games. Yeah. And you score 28 the week before.
And you scored 30 the week before that.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, the first 2 weeks of what this offense was looks like a mirage at this point in time. And it kind of was because they didn't have their full arsenal and everything. And this offense is full go at this point. They have a quarterback who's always been the best quarterback in the league. But now the stats are making it to where nobody can even try to poke holes in that, right? Like that to me is where it's changed. I know last year Josh Allen was the MVP, and all offseason there was a ton of conversations nationally, like, is Josh Allen now the best quarterback in the league? And we said heading into this year, if you hated that conversation in the offseason, well, then you better hope Mahomes and the Chiefs have a bounce back offensive year. Otherwise, people will say, oh, see, this cements the new status quo or whatever. Now, there's no new status quo. It's been Patrick Mahomes, and it remains. Yep. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. His stat line yesterday, again, I mentioned the drives that he had were absolutely absurd. He had 200 yards of offense after essentially like 2.5 drives.
I don't want to look up his pacing stats yet, but I imagine it's 40 touchdowns, 4,500 yards, another 500 rushing, and 6 or 7 touchdowns there. Like that, and look, that is certainly part of why I think they're the best offense in football. And I'll say they're not shorthanded by any means. They're more than that on there. They were missing for a good chunk of the game their starting left tackle and their starting right guard. So it's not like the offensive line was at full strength for a portion of that game. Not that it mattered because of how bad the, just in general, the Raiders are. But it's hard to look at it and say, okay, they got Rice. And he already immediately established himself as the number one wide receiver.
Yep.
That play, the biggest play of the entire game offensively, where Travis Kelce standing by himself. Watch where the defenders go. They all forget about Travis Kelce. Forget about Travis Kelce? Well, no wonder he's standing down the sideline for 44 yards.
That's the challenge you have if you're a defense, even when they'll face a much better defense than the Raiders. I mean, it wasn't just Travis Kelce. There was Noah Gray had a big reception. So the Raiders were trying to pick their poison a little bit, and it left both tight ends open throughout that game. You notice the first two times they had Brown, Rice, and Worthy on the field at the same time. The very first time it was an offside penalty, it was an offside.
Yeah.
So it didn't count. Then the next two weren't big pass plays. They were actually Mahomes runs. Not that we want to see Patrick Mahomes running all that often.
No, but I like when he uses it for big plays.
But
sure.
What it did, if you notice, it spread everybody out. There was so much open space in the field for Patrick Mahomes to run. And so that's another aspect of when you have that kind of speed on the field from the wide receiver position. I mean, my favorite formation didn't result in a huge play, but they had Breshard Smith, 5 wide. They had Breshard Smith out wide, I think on the near side of the field, all the way out. And then they had Rice, Worthy, and Brown, and then one other player. I can't remember who the other player would have been. Tyquan Thornton, sorry. That's a lot of speed. That's a lot of speed on the field at one point in time, and I think it was just a Mahomes run.
And did exactly what we thought they would do and this is where I like their balance. Throw it to Rice a bunch, use Kelce on third downs, use everybody in the red zone, including Rice, and then twice a game. And this is what, at twice a game, try Tyquan Thornton. First time, barely missed. Actually hit Tyquan on the shoulder pad. You could make an argument he should have made that catch. Second time, complete gold. We don't need to use Tyquan a lot. Just twice a game, that man's going to run deep, and you're going to want to go ahead and fire it down his way and give him a chance at it. And so, like, the balance in that game is what really stood out in the early portion. Throwing it to everyone, running it to everyone, everyone getting their yardage. They used it. You know, it just felt like it's felt really easy for the last couple of weeks. And I think it goes back to about the second half of that Giants game. Jesse Newell pointed out, and this was before Gardner Minshew came in the game. So I don't know what happened after. But before Gardner, I think they punted once. In the last 10 quarters, the Chiefs have only punted one time under Patrick Mahomes, which means they're scoring, and one turnover on downs when they went for it on fourth. They're scoring on every drive they touch the football right now.
This was the offensive dream that they had two offseasons ago.
Yep.
And it got derailed due to injury or suspension, whatever, offensive line play, whatever the reasons, a lot of reasons why it got derailed. But you saw a glimpse, and now it's here, of why they believed in their offseason approach at the wide receiver position two offseasons ago. And how they allocated, you know, resources in the draft, and should they have drafted a receiver higher or whatever. Obviously, they drafted Worthy in the first round 2 years ago or a year ago at this point in time, and it's all coming together to where they're an offense that nobody's going to want to play. Plain and simple, nobody's going to want to play this offense, and you know there's plenty of more wrinkles to come off of this. Like, once they had a nice little cushion of the Raiders, and I'm not even talking late when they decided to just completely run the ball every single time with Breshard Smith late in garbage time. I'm talking about just when the few times we didn't see Rice, Worthy, and Brown on the field as much as we all probably expected at the exact same time. That's by design. Like, wait till later in the year in a game in which they have to have it. I don't know. Maybe that's Buffalo on the road in a couple weeks. I don't know.
Might be,
right?
Well,
maybe
it's
the Colts, the way the Colts keep on playing. My goodness.
We'll have to talk about them later this week for sure. You know what stands out the most to me is, Gold, there was a game. Was it the second game of the year? Maybe it was Philly. Earlier this year, I remember we came on here on a Monday after the Chiefs had lost, and we were talking about a drive in which they had three completed passes for 9 yards and then had to punt. And I was like, what is this offense? I don't want to watch this anymore. You completed three passes and you couldn't get 10 yards? Does it feel the same to everyone else when you watch the Chiefs right now that every single play is good for 7, 8, 9, 10 yards? Everything is in bunches. They get it in these big, huge swaps. Nothing's one or two. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what makes their offense seem dangerous, is everything feels like it goes for 9 yards, 10 yards. You know, like they get these medium amount of yardage. Everything doesn't have to go for 60, but they get 10 fairly regularly.
And there's a trickle-down effect over to the defense, too. McDuffie mentioned that, you know, what the offense rolling does for them.
Man, I love it. I ain't gonna lie, that offense over there rolling, and it's only made the defense more confident, you know what I mean? So, shout out to them boys getting things together. I know Rasheed coming back brought a little extra little thing to that offense, two touchdowns, but yeah, man, it was a good game.
Yeah, and the defense, they all, as you said it, I think earlier, you know, already before the show even started, when we were talking to Kramer out there in the bullpen for some of the social videos and everything, like when the offense is having fun, everything flows. It's not, it's so cliche to talk about, you know, complimentary football and all this kind of stuff. But when the offense is going like that, the defense, their job is a million times easier. Spags want to be even more aggressive. The energy level on the sideline is a completely different level when the offense is scoring and making some great plays. You know, the vibes are pretty darn good there throughout the sideline, throughout the game on the sideline when the Chiefs are playing at that level. And the defense essentially got like half the game off. I mean, that was the awesome thing too. So you got some, I know they had the Norman Lott injury stinks and that didn't look good at all. And I'm worried that he might be done, but the fact that you're able in a stretch of games where you're still a few weeks out of the bye, and you've been playing some big-time opponents or will play some big-time opponents, it doesn't hurt to kind of have half the game off.
You can always tell when this team's feeling it, when they start having fun. A key example of that, when they were only up 7-0, 4th-and-1 Gold, and then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes comes to the line of scrimmage and pulls a little trickery.
Yeah, this was Mahomes.
Acting.
Yeah, this was Mahomes talking about faking out the defense a little bit.
I think it comes from all my State Farm commercials. No, I'm joking. The Nags actually came up with the idea. You know, we had talked about doing the hard count, trying to draw the teams off sides. I can't remember who I watched do it a couple years ago, and they had said that, and so I was like, I'm going to use that as part of my acting to like try to get the defense just to relax a little bit. But at the end of the day, we still got to go get it. I thought the offensive line did a great job of driving off the ball, and then Kareem in those situations is money.
They always do this stuff against the Raiders, too.
Oh, like, yeah. They did the ring around the rosy and the other stuff. Look, him saying, this effing play never effing works.
Yeah.
Stepping up to the line and then running the 4th-and-1 play anyway. A play I didn't think they'd actually go for, Gold. we talked about this before. Their aggressiveness had typically been pretty limited to teams they respected. It's the best sign for the offense. We talk about this all the time. When they're doing silly, insane stuff, Gold, like the ring around the rosy play, that's when they're at their best. That's when they're feeling their best. That's when they feel like they can do anything and it doesn't matter.
Well, they're going for it on their own 40, oh, no, on fourth and a foot. Tried to draw him offside.
The blue red was on, no, no, no. Never fucking works, man.
Sorry. Mahomes says, Coach, it doesn't
work. Oh, there they
work.
Go.
He was faking it.
There they
go. He got you.
That's what I like even better is he's actually right when he's saying that. It does never work.
These teams do it all the time. Although, actually, I did see one team successful with the – I think it was Stafford got the Jags to jump on that on a fourth down or something in London.
You got to be smarter than that. You know what they're doing. And in this case, obviously, Patrick Mahomes pulling the double switch. Flip back. I just I like when they're doing stuff like that. It's always a good
Gardner Minshew in the backfield, even though it was that play would have worked too, by the way. It was a false start. Walk-in touchdown. Mahomes was asked about that in post game too. He said the issue was they kind of screwed up the cadence on it. They were talking during the week whether it should be Gardner Minshew doing the cadence or him, and I think it was Trey Smith that ended up jumping on that particular play. But Rashee Rice had a walk-in touchdown.
Are these plays they were planning on pulling out on someone else, or are these the one like these are fun plays, but we're not running these against a serious opponent. We're trying to win football games. Why are they running all their?
I think it's setting
really
up
really silly plays, setting something else up.
Yeah, you put it on film, you put it on tape, and so now an opponent in the future has to potentially acknowledge that, and so maybe it's in the AFC, AFC title game. You go out with the same formation. What's the different wrinkle? You know, they got five or six wrinkles off of that particular formation where Minshew's in the backfield with Mahomes. And I think Andy Reid, we all know, to keep everybody engaged and all that at Pratt, he wants them to have some fun. And so it's Gardner Minshew going up against his old team. It seemed like the right week to try to get him an opportunity to get a touchdown.
This is the tough part of the NFL. Someone said, hey, how did the Chiefs lose to the Jags? Their offense stinks.
Yeah, I know. That sucks.
How did,
it ticked me off more yesterday.
How did the Patriots lose to the Raiders? Look, if the Chiefs had beaten the Jags, a game that they definitively had in control and should have won and gave it away, they'd be winners of five in a row. They'd be in first place in the division. And we'd be having a very different, very, very, very different conversation about just how dominant this team is. Patrick Mahomes said in postgame, he's still not happy with what this team's record is. That's why it's going to be, and the next four games are going to be interesting, because they have to take on Washington, have to go on the road to Denver, have to go on the road to Buffalo, have to play the Colts, have to, I think, Dallas. I think the next 5 weeks are a lot of opponents that will tell you where the Chiefs are.
Monday's football coverage presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success at Busey Bank. They've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com. Let's talk about the AFC West yesterday. One result went the Chiefs' way. Another was very frustrating to see play out. And we'll talk a little baseball. Yes, even on a Monday. That's what happens when you have a historical performance in a game.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
7 tonight.
First and 20 for the Chiefs at their own 16. Orbit motion by Xavier Worthy. Snap to Mahomes. It gets to four-man rush. Mahomes with time. Steps up. Slings it late. He's got Kelce. 35-40. 45-50. Kelce on the move and into Raider territory. A gain of 44 yards. Who benefits from all active finally? Travis Kelce. Because you can't shade him and double him anymore.
Mitch Holtis on the call yesterday right here on 96.5 The Fan. We will certainly get back into this Chiefs offense at 11 o'clock in the return of Rashee Rice, what it meant for him, but as Mitch alluded to there, what it means for Travis Kelce and the rest of the offense. It means a dominant performance like that offensively where they were unstoppable on a drive-by-drive basis. So we'll get there in just a bit. But the AFC West, it was shaping up for a little bit to be a perfect day for the Chiefs, like all the way around. The Chargers
sure
got their
was.
Butts kicked against the Colts. I thought the Chargers were going to be way more competitive than that. And then the Broncos were down 19-0, and they score 33 points in the fourth quarter to come all the way back against Jackson Dart and the Giants.
What were the Giants doing?
That was a terrible mistake by Jackson Dart. That interception was abysmal. Absolutely abysmal.
That one was
as good
egregiously
as he's been,
made.
That was really, really, that was a rookie mistake.
I don't know how to like, so this is always the same thing. A win's a win. Feel happy. Take it to the bank. You're in first place in the division. You know, 7 full games into the NFL season. That means something. The Broncos get to like, you know, use that. Obviously, they're still going to face the Chiefs 2 more times this season. Great. I would feel not great if I were a Broncos fan walking out of that game.
What?
Because it took a miraculous performance.
Yeah, but that's just how sports work. I mean, they're probably feeling great. They stole a game they had no business coming back and winning.
Yeah.
That's why you feel great. Yes, overall, their offense did not do anything for 3 quarters. And so, you know, do I now think their offense is just going to score 30 points a game? No, but when you, any team that wins a game like that, that to me, the dangerous thing.
Could boost them.
Yeah, the dangerous thing is that can be something now you have ultimate belief. If you're Sean Payton, that's a huge win for you because later on, I don't know who the Broncos have next week, but whoever they have next week or the week after, anytime this season, if the Broncos are trailing by 2 touchdowns or something at any point of the game, they know they're not out of the game. That's what they can legitimately sell that to themselves because they've done it. That is something that's very powerful to have in your back pocket as a coach and as a player when you know that, hey, no, we were down 19, guys. You remember? We were down 19 entering the third quarter or the fourth quarter, and we ended up scoring 33 points. This game's not over yet. Like, that's something that they can all fully buy into. I thought it was a massive win for Denver.
They've won 4 games in a row. And then we'll talk about the Chargers here in a minute, who have shockingly, who could have seen it coming, fallen off the planet after their 3-0 start against 3 divisional opponents. They have had genuinely one of the most intriguing 3-week runs I can remember. They were down 17-3 in the fourth quarter to Philadelphia, won. Beat the New York Jets, in which they were definitely the better team, but also could not score in London.
Right.
And so scraped out some hideous 13-11 win, and then needed, 19-point comeback in the fourth quarter, and scoring all 33 points of their 33 points in the fourth quarter in order to beat the Giants. They're a good football team. They're definitively the second best team in the division, which you and I thought they were going into the year. I think that that has been made clear. They do have offensive problems, and I don't think that should be ignored. They're currently, and I'll tell you where the Chargers are in a minute, where the Chiefs are in a minute if you want. They're currently 17th in the NFL in points per game on offense, 4th in the NFL in points per game on defense. They're actually behind the Chiefs now. Chiefs are third best after the shutout in points per game on defense in the entire
NFL.
That'll
help you out when you don't give up any points for a week.
Shutout doesn't hurt, right? Certainly doesn't hurt. But so like when you stack it up right now, they're going to have to find some things on offense that actually make them slightly more dangerous if you're Denver. I don't think they have to, like, again, you don't have to feel bad. Win's a win. They've won 4 games in a row. 3 of them were by the skin of their teeth, but they're wins. And so I'm just saying, like, they could be trouble in any week. They can lose to Dallas this week, Houston 2 weeks from now, whatever. Or are they on a bye? Nope, they don't have a bye until week 12. So when you're looking at their schedule, like, they can lose to anybody, but they obviously can beat most teams. Chargers. their defense is not good, and their offense is also not great. It's better than their defense. But maybe this was like they managed to get the defense together for a single season gold and then it fell apart. Is that my assumption? Because they were pretty bad on defense 2 years ago, really good on defense last year, and they're back to being below average.
They had no answer for the Colts. Now, the Colts are the number one offense in football. That's part of it, but they could not get a stop whatsoever. Then a few times where they were able to move the ball offensively earlier in the game, Justin Herbert made a terrible interception in the end zone, I think late in the first half or so.
Right when they were close to maybe clawing a way back in.
Yeah, they're a team that's struggling right now. After starting 3-0 with 3 divisional wins, they have the same record as the Chiefs right now, 4-3. Now they have division wins. That's the one thing that's going for them. But Justin Herbert, as great as he played the first 3 weeks, yes, injuries contribute to this, but he has made some really bad decisions. You can tell the pressure is on for him, and he's probably forcing some things, feeling like he's got to make everything happen, and that has led to him making a lot of mistakes. When he was able to just kind of play free and easy and everything was going well, obviously he was playing great.
Yeah, but the pressure
now when your defense is playing the way it is and you're having to come back down 14, down 20 in some cases, like yesterday, he's forcing some things.
Like they had a touchdown on 3 straight drives, and that would normally be like a wow. And Justin Herbert leads the league in passing yardage after 420 yards yesterday. But they scored a touchdown on 3 straight drives. They trailed when he took possession of that ball, 21-21-21. So like, okay, I guess. What kind of defensive options are you seeing that in the third and fourth quarter when you're down 3 touchdowns? You think the Colts are rolling out the real tough squad? You think they're running out the ace-level defense? Because something tells me probably not. In their last 4 games, they've lost to the Giants, lost easily to the Commanders, barely beat the Dolphins, and got their ass kicked by the Colts. Things are going south for the Chargers and in a hurry. I think the injuries have caught up, and I think some of the talent problems that we've talked about with their roster and why you and I both like the Broncos before. I will still say,
I thought
this division's clearly coming down to a fight in
yesterday.
That game?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I thought they were going to win the game, quite honestly. I thought that they were going to beat the Colts, and they were never really in that game after the first quarter.
I'm done down the Colts. Okay, count me out on that. I'm not, like, I'm done saying, you know, eventually clocks turn at midnight. Daniel Jones is playing at an MVP level. Shane Steichen has, and like, to someone's point, Steichen has pretty much been the quarterback whisperer anywhere he's went. That was the best year of Jalen Hurts. This has been the best year of, you know, obviously Daniel Jones. Maybe that just speaks to Anthony Richardson. Maybe just stinks. He's the only quarterback maybe he couldn't fix. I don't even like love their wide receivers. They're okay.
Wow, they have.
And
they,
yet it doesn't matter.
It's a great coaching job too, because, and Shane Steichen's the favorite to be coach of the year. And if they keep this up, he'll easily win this. If they win the AFC South, it'll be pretty simple decision, no debate. He's been the favorite ever since like week 2 because of the surprise start. But you mentioned their weapons. Like everybody like has it's a team that's like full of role players,
yeah,
and usually that's viewed as a negative, like in an insult. But no, like Michael Pittman has a specific role. He does it. Downs does it. Warren, obviously, they use in multiple ways. Jonathan Taylor's the leading rusher in football. He's having a great season. They got guys that all are doing their role properly, and they've been able to stay healthy offensively right now. What's his name? Lou Anarumo, who 3 years ago, was viewed as the best defensive coordinator in football. And then the Bengals stunk last year and he was a scapegoat and he sucks and all this. And now look what he's doing with the Colts defense. Maybe it turns out they just didn't have any good players defensively anymore in Cincinnati. And so Luonarumo's doing a hell of a job defensively for Indy. No, they're real. I still, yes, regular season-wise, I got to stop doubting them. I still, you could give me two other teams I would bet on.
Don't go too strong.
Two other teams I would bet on to win the AFC before I would even consider them. Like, I still don't think the Colts are going to go to the Super Bowl, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
But they're going to win 12, 13 games.
What stood out the most so far is, in the divisional stuff, is that I'm just not that. First, Geno's been awful. He's having a wretched year. He looks back to like New York Jets Geno this season. He looks terrible.
Yeah, he's been bad.
But Bo Nix and Justin Herbert have not been impressive. That's what's partially stood out about the division so far this year and why I'm still relatively confident the Chiefs are going to win this division. And I don't think I'm alone on that currently. I'm sure there were some national people who were doubting it for a while. I'm sure you'd say that, and Drew would say
they're
that.
They're favorites to win the division.
Yeah, as they should be. This isn't like the Ravens, who were favorites to win the division there for a while, and none of us could figure it out, although Lamar Jackson's supposed to come back this week. This is completely different than that. It's just I have not been blown away by what I've seen out of Justin Herbert or what I've seen out of Bo Nix. They seem to have relegated back to not top 10 quarterbacks, but like the 10th best, right? The 11th best. And they've just been hovering in that range where you expect them to compete for the division to like enter that category. Some of Daniel Jones entered that category this season before they did. And that's been the thing that's always stood out. We don't normally talk baseball, and we'll get back to football here.
Not on a Monday.
In like 5 minutes. On a Monday after a Chiefs win, and admittedly a Chiefs win that did not have a ton to like diagnose in the how do they get better department, which is great for sports talk. We don't ever talk baseball on a Monday, not even baseball playoffs, not even the World Series, unless the Royals were in it. I'm sorry. Shohei Ohtani had, on paper, might be the single greatest baseball game of all time. And I will no longer be entertaining any conversation about who the best player in baseball is unless your answer is Shohei. And there's still someone out there that's going to try to argue someone else, and I don't have the energy anymore, Gold. He's the single greatest player who's ever played the sport.
Yeah, saying the debate for this year. I don't think it's not even just right now.
He's the single greatest player who's ever played baseball, ever.
Correct.
And we're watching it currently, and it's incredible.
3 home runs, 10 strikeouts, 6 inning pitched. It was the Shohei Ohtani game to get the Dodgers to the World Series. This is how the third one sounded.
Ohtani, oh! Did he? Ohtani! Ohtani has done it again! His third home run!
He got the mega contract over $700 million, and at the time, it was like, well, is any player really worth $700 million?
They underpaid him.
He is underpaid. I'm serious. Front Office Sports put out some numbers over the weekend. And the Dodgers have already gotten all the money back. Mm-hmm. Now, they haven't paid out the full contract yet because, as we know, it's deferred. But they have already made the money back in dynamic ticket pricing, winning the World Series marketing, basically having an entire country in Japan Dodgers fans now.
Yep.
They have made all that through sponsorships, everything back. So at the time when people were like, oh, the Dodgers, like, you know, what are you paying this guy this much money for? They've already made their money back. And remember, they have years and years still left with Shohei Ohtani, and they're probably going to win the World Series. Let's be real. Like, I'm excited for Game 7 tonight. I hope the Mariners win. The Dodgers are winning the World Series. I'm sorry. The Dodgers are winning the World Series. It doesn't matter if the Blue Jays win or the Mariners win.
No.
The Dodgers will win this thing. You know, and you and I have referenced the domination of the Dodgers here as of late over the last 5+ years and how we want it to get so absurd that baseball is forced to maybe actually consider a salary floor or salary cap. You hear Dave Roberts after their win. He said, there's a lot of talk about the Dodgers ruining baseball. Why don't we win 4 more and really ruin baseball? Well, I hope so, because that's the only way any change is going to happen.
Yeah, in a weird way, I still think it's probably the best thing for the sport that some team, and the Dodgers are already doing it. They'll already be the key piece of evidence in the next collective bargaining agreement to go in there. But we would do this for any sport, so I think it is worth acknowledging. I don't care if it's Michael Phelps as the greatest swimmer who ever lived, or when people were watching quarterbacks or players, you should probably appreciate, and I'm just telling you, like somebody said, what about Barry Bonds?
He was before Ohtani. I would have put him up there, absolutely.
There is no player in the history of baseball who has played baseball better than Shohei Ohtani. And I couldn't believe some people were making little stupid excuses out of this, like saying, well, they were up 3-0 in this series, so not a really pressure-packed situation for old Shohei. He pitched 6 1/3 scoreless innings and hit 3 home runs in an AL pennant clincher. No pressure on him. He's doing that over a calendar year. No one's done it better. No one. I don't care if it's like you go back to some like ridiculous Cy Young stats or Babe Ruth's or anyone. No one has ever played this sport better than Shohei. He is putting up Little League numbers. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's video game stuff, man. It's video game stuff. You have the faders turned down to rookie mode or whatever in your MLB The Show game.
Yeah, I created Alex Gold in the game, and I slugged 80 home runs that season, and I also pitched for the team.
It's crazy stuff like that. Actually, my answer would have been Barry Bonds before that, for that person texting in, before Shohei Ohtani existed on this planet. In Major League Baseball. Also, the trickle-down effect of having Ohtani, it's not just the marketing dollars, but you think Yamamoto signs with the Dodgers if it's not for Ohtani? They would have signed wherever Ohtani went. So if Ohtani would have stayed with the Angels, I'm convinced Yamamoto and Sasaki, who's now turned into a great closer for them, they moved him to the bullpen, and he's dominant too. I mean, their 1-4 in the rotation is insane. Ohtani pitched in game 4. They were already up 3-0. Ohtani pitches in game 4. The fact that he's their fourth option for pitching, because Blake Snell basically pitched, what, 8 shutout innings or close to it. Yamamoto had, I think, gave up a solo home run to the first batter and then was perfect the rest of the game. I mean, the Dodgers, we all kind of knew it before the season. And I understand the frustration with the financial element of it, but it's hard not to still be impressed with what Shohei Ohtani is doing. You think Babe Ruth, who was smoking cigarettes on the bench and stuff, was a better athlete and a better baseball player? Come on.
He did all of it. He does all of it. He led the league in home runs and RBI last year and stole 60 bases. And then in an ALCS, just did what he did. For the last 3 years, he has led the Major League Baseball in on-base percentage and slugging percentage all 3 years, OPS all 3 years, OPS plus all 3 years, on-base percentage 2 of 3 years. This is before I even mention that he pitches. And that's, you know, like it's, I've just never seen anything like it. That's it. I've never seen anything like it. I seriously doubt there's probably a 0% chance, Gold, I'll ever see anything like it again.
Oh, yeah, you got to appreciate it. Yeah, you definitely have to appreciate it. Someone doesn't think that the Shohei Ohtani contract, that they've made their money back, they said, I'm lying. I'm just telling you.
Front office sports
is saying, obviously, did I actually go and do the investigative reporting on the financial disclosures of the Dodgers? No, I have not. I'm just telling you. Front office sports, who's a reputable outlet, has mentioned that the 10-year, $700 million contract, according to sources, the Dodgers made back the entirety of the contract in his first season. Remember, this is year 2 in tickets, marketing deals, Japan, global merchandise. And I believe it.
I do
people
too.
Realize how huge the economy is just in Japan to get the, you know, a lot of the partnerships,
the baseball thirst
from Japan alone, let alone ticket sales. I believe it.
Can I say that we don't, like, we talk a lot about Shohei and the Dodgers and all this. We should crush the Angels more. How did you screw this up so bad? How did you not take advantage of the single greatest player to ever walk the earth? We spent 50 years. I'm never even close to old enough to having ever watched Babe Ruth. But the story that was told to me all through my childhood is how they traded him for a goat and like this whole curse and how the Red Sox screwed it up and it screwed their franchise up forever. We should be talking about the Angels with that same amount of energy. They let the single greatest baseball player to ever walk the earth leave in free agency. It's like, Shohei, it's been a pleasure. They didn't even get anything in return for him, man. They didn't even like get a trade. They didn't even like get a player back, for God's sakes. They just let the man walk.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get back into Rashee Rice, his return. You want to hear what he had to say from the podium, and also him and Worthy joking around a little bit in the locker room. That's coming up in just a little while. Over the weekend, Missouri got it done with a 2-overtime win over Auburn, their first road game, and they badly needed it. They kept their college football playoff hopes alive.
It was a fight.
That was one of those games where, kind of like what we were discussing, you mentioned, like, how do the Broncos feel about coming from behind? Same thing if you're Eli Drinkwitz. You probably should have lost that game to Auburn the way it was trending, at least, and probably thought they were going to. And yet, then you end up coming out of it and say, oh, what a gritty win. We kind of got this done. This team didn't quit. You all of a sudden, it goes from, it could have been one of the more devastating losses of the year, or the year, period, because they only have the one anyway, to Alabama. So now it ends up being one of the, maybe their biggest win. If they're able to get to the college football playoff and they got a daunting schedule still ahead of them, that might be the game we look back at.
I will say it's certainly shaping up that the Missouri-Vanderbilt game is going to have a firm decision and who has a massive advantage in getting to the college football playoff. Vandy ranked 10, Missouri ranked 15th. I was prepared when I was watching the game on Saturday to come in here on Monday and be like, as good of a season as Bo Prabula's had, he has had back-to-back weeks in the fourth quarter with a chance to go win a football game for his team, and he stunk in both of those drives. Threw the interception 2 weeks ago, did not move the ball with any kind of effectiveness in the game against Auburn. Now, he eventually got the win, right? They got the touchdown, so he gets let off the hook. But they do have a little bit of a problem, Gold, I'll say, in the if you need a drive, if they got to put it in the air, if it's push come to shove, there is still a limitation or a ceiling to Bo Prabula and what he can do in that moment. And so these two games really taught me that. And that's their biggest issue, is that in those spots, can he get it done?
He struggles to throw the ball down the field. Yeah. You know, that's I think we've seen teams have adjusted to that a little bit. Ahmad Hardy's incredible, but can they stretch the field? And they're going to be tested to do that. I mean, the schedule only gets tougher for Missouri, but they had to win that game. And to their credit, they found a way to get it done, even though it was probably one of those where probably in years past, you would have said that's a game Missouri loses. And that's probably the best sign you can have if you're a Missouri Tiger fan, is that that's a game you normally lose. Normally, you don't come back from that, but they did, and that's why maybe this team is different this year.
And the best part is that Ahmad Hardy could not do a single solitary thing in the ground game, and they still won the game. They just got beat up in the trenches really bad. I mean, they faced potentially a number five, top five pick in Keldrick Falk, though. He was really good, and it seems like Bo, I don't know what it is with him, but it feels like if his first read's not there, his eyes drop, and he tries to, and I don't know if it's the offensive line's having issues, or he's not comfortable, he doesn't feel comfortable.
He had a bad
going,
game,
but because it felt Hardy that way the last game, two games, where, like, to your point, Cody, it felt like the last two games, it hasn't been easy for him, and it's been difficult to stay in the pocket for 3 seconds. It feels like it's been a little bit difficult. I will say this too: if they make the playoff, I know Missouri fans don't want to hear this. They should hope that Drinkwitz is the head coach next year, because if they make the playoff, then I think he very, very well could leave.
Take Florida or something?
If Florida can't get Lane Kiffin, I think that Drinkwitz would be next. Drinkwitz would absolutely be in the top three on the list.
I would watch a documentary on Lane Kiffin's career. What an interesting career.
There is a doc. There is. It's is a 30 there? For 30. It's all, there oh. is, like, literally. There.
Wait, but I want it for the whole thing. I want it when it's all done.
Oh.
How recently did it come out?
In the last year.
Oh, okay. Interested.
Yeah. Last year.
He has had,
it goes all the way back to the Tennessee days.
And, yeah, I wanted to. In the NFL and all that stuff. He's had a really interesting career arc. Possibly interesting career arc. Look, but my problem, Drew, is what you mentioned about them is they have faced two difficult opponents on their schedule. Everyone else, for the most part, was kind of a cupcake. Or, you know, like Kansas or whatever, they played well. They have had back-to-back what we would call real SEC opponents.
Yep.
Auburn on the road, Alabama. It's their two worst games. It's the two worst games they've played. And they almost beat Alabama.
Particularly for the offense.
Yeah. And they almost beat Alabama, and they did beat Auburn. So, like, they're not playing good football, and they're certainly not getting dog-walked in these games. They are competitive. But they're going to have to play a lot better at Vandy.
I was going to say,
they're going to have to play a lot better if they want to have any chance of beating A&M or Oklahoma.
To your point on what you just said, like, a couple minutes ago, this game feels like it's just massive. Like, obviously, the A&M game is big. The Oklahoma game is going to be big, depending on how things go. But this game, and I know it's a week-to-week thing, obviously, for the team and stuff, but this one...
They're going to be better than 50% to make the playoff.
Game days in Nashville, they're going to have to play as good of a game as they've had all season long to win it. And if they do win, then you're looking up and say, well, we can still afford a loss potentially and then still get to that 10-2 mark. So, this one is absolutely massive against Diego Pavia, who all of a sudden is probably top three in the Heisman.
He's built like a linebacker.
Yeah, he's jumped up considerably.
His story is freaking awesome,
I don't know if he's
awesome,
top
man.
Three. He moved up to like 7 or 8 to 1. I think he's right. He's fringe.
I don't know about the odds. I'm just saying, if I had to vote, Diego Pavia is 100% hit. And Diego Pavia is in New York, and he's not the last guy sneaking in. I think the way he's played. Plus, for him to also say and talk all the smack that he has and sound crazy to everybody, for him to back it up is actually really, really darn impressive. He's one of the best stories in all of college football this year.
By the way, Heisman odds, Ty Simpson plus 320, Fernando Mendoza plus 340, Cyan 400.
What a great race.
Julian Cyan is going after it.
Marcel
man.
Reed,
so
7.5 to 1, and then Diego Pavia sitting at 8 to 1. All right, up next, let's get right back into the Chiefs. Rashee Rice made his return, 2 touchdowns, what it meant for the rest of the offense. You want to hear what Travis Kelce had to say, along with Rashee Rice himself, right here on Cody and Gold.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow!
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.